Sally O'Reilly. And as all of you know, Sally is our local psychologist and psychotherapist and extremely knowledgeable in all things to do with psychology and the human being and the human brain. So you're very welcome to the show, Sally.
Thank you, Rosari. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. And tonight we agreed we would discuss insomnia. So I'll pass it over to you, Sally. What is insomnia?
Right. So insomnia, I suppose, loosely defined, is an inability to sleep or to sleep effectively, so that you end up feeling horrendous the next day. And that horrendous can go all the way from feeling a bit tired and not up to scratch to, you know, having, not exaggerating, having suicidal thoughts. So it can affect us in many different ways and it can affect every aspect of our lives.
And is it very common?
Yeah, it is very common to have periods of insomnia or poor sleep. Now, different people will define insomnia in different ways. So I guess I should start by saying that the stuff that I'm going to say, tips-wise, is not going to be effective if you have a serious sleep disorder. Now, some people will have serious disorders that need different types of attention.
Okay.
And there are things like sleep apnea, which will require, you know, physical interventions like breathing apparatus and so on. What I'm talking about today is the more common form of insomnia or sleeping difficulty, or what some people might call poor sleep hygiene.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll say if somebody is suffering from, first of all, what defines someone as having poor sleep hygiene?
Right. So a lot of people believe that a full night's sleep would be, you know, 8 hours sleep, and that you wake up feeling bouncy and rested and fantastic. Okay. So, and that is the ideal, and that's great. But poor sleep hygiene then would be when we engage in behaviours during the day or the evening preceding the sleep that interrupt the sleep or affect the quality of it. So they would be things like our intake of stimulants, our exposure to the blue light in screens, like handheld devices in particular, more so than TVs, anxiety, stress, and how we manage those things during the day, and how much physical activity we have, and also how much inactivity we have. In other words, how well we manage to wind down every night before we go to bed.
Okay. So we say if somebody is typically experience a period of insomnia, what would you, well, first of all, what would that look like? And number two, what would you suggest as changing of patterns of behaviour?
Well, what it would look like would look like exhaustion and desperation, and it's incredibly upsetting, you know, if we're not sleeping. So it would look terrible, and you'll notice that you're not able to focus during the day. You'll have headaches. You might notice weight fluctuations, a bit ratty and crabby with people. It might interfere with your relationships and your ability just to function. So if someone, for example, came into me with that and it looked like sleep was the problem, then there are five main areas of sleep hygiene that I would be encouraging them to look at. So okay. I'll just maybe go through them. Now, I know that some of these will have people rolling their eyes and saying, oh, for God's sake, that's completely impractical. But I'm going to say them anyway.
Do say them
so
anyway.
So the first bit would be caffeine. Now, I know we're mad about caffeine and we love our coffee and our tea. But it is just, it still appears to be a fact. I'm saying that because, you know, science can change and experiments can be done. But it looks like caffeine has a real effect on our ability to sleep.
So should we go for the decaffeinated options after a certain time, like after 6 o'clock, go for decaf coffee or decaf tea?
Yeah. And again, you know, doctors differ and patients die, but the average time to stop with the caffeine appears to be around 4 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
So if we could stop with the caffeine after four, and I don't want to be glib about it because I know people are addicted to caffeine, consider cutting it down, you know. And there are some nice decaf coffees, and there's, well, in my opinion, one nice decaf tea, and it's Barry's decaf tea is tastes like tea.
Okay.
So there's that.
Thanks,
you know,
for the tip.
Yeah, I mean, people say, oh, drink chamomile and do this. But, you know, chamomile, a lot of people find that disgusting. And I'm with them, frankly.
Okay.
But This is one of the tips that I would say. Look at your caffeine and your nicotine and your chocolate and your intake of anything stimulant-y.
Okay.
The next thing I would look at is, what's your activity looking like during the day? Do you exercise? And again, exercise 20 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be going for a run 20 minutes a day. A walk, a brisk walk, get the heart rate up.
Okay.
20 minutes a day.
Bit of fresh air.
Bit of fresh air.
Oxygen to the lungs, okay.
Ideally by the sea. I mean, look where we are. We're so well placed for that. Develop a wind down routine. Routine is key. Think of yourself as a baby. Mm-hmm. And treat yourself as if you were a baby. So get a routine going. And a wind down would be ideally reading a book or having a chat, but not exercising, not doing something online or on TV, because all you're doing now with the online stuff is you're sending your brain a message to stop making sleepy hormones.
Okay.
And that will interrupt. I mean, it absolutely will interrupt with your sleep. There's no one is immune to that. So you might sleep, but it might not be, probably won't be the greatest quality of sleep. The next thing I would say is, what happens when you're lying awake? So do you toss and turn? That's ill-advised. I would say if you find that you're still not asleep after 30 minutes in bed, get up. It means you're not ready to sleep. Just get up, do something else, go back to sleep, try again, go back to bed rather, try again. And if you wake up in the middle of the night and you're awake for more than 20 minutes, get up, because you don't want to form a habit where your body says, here I am in bed, this is where I lie awake. Because then you associate the bed and the bedroom with stress, anxiety and worry about not sleeping.
Okay.
Try not to panic would be another piece of advice. Again, much easier said than done. I understand that. But we are a lot more scared of the effects of lack of sleep than we need be.
Okay.
We can survive on a lot less sleep than we think. So if you can find a way to calm yourself down, and remember, you know, the demons come at 3 or 4 in the morning. Mm. That is when we have our darkest thoughts. And maybe have a reminder. I always say to people, and I've done this myself, actually, that you write yourself a little note that you can read, and it's in your own handwriting, so you might believe it.
Okay.
And write yourself a little note that you can read at 3 or 4 in the morning, saying, you know, whatever you're thinking, it's not real. It's not going to happen. It won't seem this bad in the morning.
Okay.
Try to let this go and try to go to sleep.
Okay.
So you're soothing yourself, because we do think awful things at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Okay.
Because we naturally wake at 3 or 4 in the morning, because that's part of our circadian cycle.
Okay, explain the circadian cycle.
So that is, the circadian rhythm is the rhythm that governs our waking and our sleeping times. So again, you know, we're inclined to think nighttime is sleepy time and it's 8 hours and it's solid. But actually, if we were to put you into a scanner, well, actually, we'd be putting electrodes on you and measuring brain waves. What we'd see is that you actually come very close to waking, or you actually wake 3 or 4 times during the night. So you wake around 1, 3, 5. 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock would be your most alert time during the night. So it's normal, actually, to wake during the night. Now, hopefully, the ideal, is that you do go straight back to sleep and you mightn't remember waking up. But it's normal to have these peaks and troughs during the night.
Okay. But what, which I'm experiencing at the moment, waking up at 3 in the morning and not getting back to sleep.
Are you panicking, I wonder?
I don't think so.
Right, okay.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
So we'd probably need to have a longer chat about that, and probably off air. But
how do you go back to sleep again, Sally, when you do wake up from this circadian rhythm cycle? Like, it would be nice to dip back into that deep sleep again.
Yeah, it would. And you know, again, loads of books and loads of websites and stuff. But the best book I ever read on this was called The Sleep Book. Mm-hmm. And the main message in that book was, trust your body to do what it's meant to do. Because when we're lying awake and when we have insomnia and we're getting anxious about it, we get very anxious that we're broken somehow. It's broken now. The sleep cycle is broken. I'll never manage this again. I'll never function. Everything is awful. It's going to be like this forever. And we feel like we're going mad. But if we could actually find a way just to say, you know what, I will learn to trust that my body will do what it needs to do and it will sleep if it needs to sleep. Mm. The other thing, there's some very interesting study I came across during the week, and it's whereby a lot of us, we miscalculate how much sleep we're not getting.
Okay.
So a lot of us think we're sleeping poorly, and we're sleeping a lot better than we think we are.
Okay.
And another interesting part of that study was that people who describe themselves and complain of insomnia, that they would have the symptoms of insomnia. And their symptoms of insomnia would be worse than people who actually sleep worse than them, but who don't complain about it because they trust that they can get through it and that they will have a good day regardless.
Right.
So that's good news, but it's also difficult news for people like me, for therapists or psychologists who are working with people who are insisting that they're not sleeping when in fact they might be.
Okay. Now, I read somewhere else that we sleep in 3-hour cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Which is which is basically their circadian rhythm.
Yeah, you'll see that. You'll see that if you Google a circadian rhythm, Google image it, you'll see that we go up and down during the night, but also during the day. Mm. You know, like some of the continental, our neighbours have it nailed with this siesta thing.
Oh yeah,
I know it's not as much of a tradition as it used to be, but apparently there are some studies also that link if you have a nap at 2 or 3 or 4 p.m. that can add years. I read in one study up to 10 years. I'm not sure if that seems a bit rich, but that it can add to your longevity and to your physical as well as psychological well-being. That napping is part of the circadian rhythm, that we naturally slump. And you'll know this from being a person around 2 o'clock. We feel sleepy.
Yeah. It's called, at a conference, it's called the graveyard shift.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. It's because people are all falling asleep.
Yeah.
And so it's not the best time to have your slot if you're giving a presentation at a conference.
Or going for an interview, apparently.
Or going for an interview.
Yes. Get in the morning or late in the evening. Yes.
Yeah. I wouldn't be inclined to go for an interview just before lunch either, when they're thinking about their dinners and all their tummies. So anyway, Sally, that's very insightful. So just before we wrap up, can you just recap, so in a very, very briefly, as to 3 or 4 things a person can do if they happen to be going through a temporary period of insomnia?
I can. Drop the caffeine.
Yeah.
Move more during the day. Mm-hmm. Get a routine for winding down at night.
Brilliant.
Don't toss and turn. Get up if it's not working. And try not to panic.
Okay, brilliant. That's brilliant in a nutshell. Okay, thank you so much again for your wonderful advice.
You're welcome.
I certainly will be taking a note of those 6 steps, I think. And if I can count right, is that 6? 5. Just give me the nod, it's 5. Okay, thanks, Sally. That's great. I will certainly try those and let you know next week how we get on.
Okay.